Good morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Froude. Today, our conversation is about emergency preparedness, and that's a conversation that we could have and should have on a very regular basis. And our guests today hope that you're ready to engage in that and think more about emergency preparedness and how it can serve you, your family, and your community. Darren Gudgeon is with us today. Darren is Richland County's Emergency Management Director, and Connie Studnichka is on the program with us today. Connie is an AmeriCorps Disaster Preparedness Outreach Coordinator, has had programs before in our community to help people, and has another coming up that we're really going to focus on this morning. Connie, Darren, good to have both of you in the studio. We've had our share of disasters this year. It could be worse, and it has been in the past, Darren, but still it seems like there's always, you know, there's something that preparedness is a critical piece of our community's safety and well-being.
It is, and it doesn't matter really the size of the community or if it's rural or urban or suburban or metropolitan. Disasters can happen at any time. Severe weather can strike at any time. A tornado, straight line winds, ice storms here in Wisconsin, blizzards, or it could be just something at a manufacturing plant, you know, at one of our dairy plants here in town, or it could be a wildland fire. There's so many things that could impact an individual's life. And so we just want to get that message out to just be prepared for a variety of different things and all hazards type of approach.
I'm still thinking about the Sunday storms on the eastern side of the state where some communities reported softball size hail. You know, just a few seconds of that kind of a storm could just render a community huge problems, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, and just the impact to the individual's personal life and then the impact to the economy of that community, whether it's a township or a city, it can be pretty devastating. It takes time to recover from that too, just to go through the process of coming back to normal from having such a loss.
We were talking before we went on the air that we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the tornado in Viola, and my wife Beth, who graduated from Kickapoo and Viola's been important to her, still remarks now a decade later, doesn't it look different, you know, when we visit the community or do something? I mean, these kinds of circumstances change communities sometimes forever, don't they?
It does. I grew up in that area too. My grandma was born and raised in Viola, and the first thing that I remember her commenting on when we took a tour the next year before the Horse and Colt Show was, where are all the trees? And there was all kinds of different construction projects going on. The village, you know, came back and worked really hard and had the Horse and Colt Show. And we were able to get most of the homes, almost all the homes, repaired before the winter. But you can still, even to this day, I was in the Viola area with Connie going to the meal site. And one of the things I could still notice was you can still see kind of the scars from that event. And the 18th of this month marks 10 years.
Well, and I want to be clear, the village looks great. The recovery has been awesome, but the lack of the big mature trees just causes it to look incredibly different.
Yeah, they work really hard, and there's a lot of pride in that community, as there is in most of the communities throughout our area. And that was one of the things that, you know, FEMA and SBA and Wisconsin Emergency Management commented on was 48 hours into the disaster, and look how much they had accomplished in getting their roads put together and restoring, you know, essential services and things like that. So the village looks really good, but those that have grown up in the area, you can still see some of the remnants of that day.
And we're coming up on the 8th anniversary of the flood that really rocked southwest Wisconsin, aren't we?
It did. August 18th, 2007 was a significant flood for our area, being Crawford County, Richland County, Vernon County, La Crosse, Grant, Iowa, Sauk, right here in that southwest corner. It was probably one of the more significant floods for Richland County. And then it wasn't, but a few short months later in June, we were followed up again, and that was a tremendous flood. 32 counties were impacted in that, basically the whole southern third of the state.
Disasters can leave us in a position to better appreciate the need for emergency preparedness. It seems, though, wise is the community and wise is the family that embraces the concept before the lessons come from Mother Nature.
Yeah, exactly. There was it's not so much about it's not so much about thinking, well, you know, I should get this together and this together. It's actually being proactive and saying, this is a legitimate threat in my community. So we know in Richland County that we have high wind events and we have flooding because of our beautiful valleys and then on our, and our tall hills. So we need to be active in that because it's going to happen. We just know that when it rains significantly, it's going to collect, it's going to come into the drainage areas and the lowlands, and it's going to cause issues. So being proactive, it can be kind of a cliche word, but if you are proactive in that, it's easier for public safety and emergency management and local officials to help get the community back on its feet sooner rather than later, because it's already a lengthy process, the recovery process is. The more prepared you are, we can shorten that time frame up. And so that's really what we want to do is get people prepared now rather than it's not going to happen to me type of mentality.
Is Connie's work and the whole opportunity for the AmeriCorps disaster preparedness another tool in the box, so to speak, for Richland County emergency management, Darren?
Oh, absolutely. It gives us an individual whose main focus every day is to reach out to certain target audiences on with the preparedness message. And, you know, the AmeriCorps program in Wisconsin is 3 years old now, and it came out of following the 2008 and 2010 floods that affected parts of the state. And so Wisconsin Emergency Management was able to get some funding and bring the AmeriCorps program to Wisconsin. And fortunately, last year, Richland County was, we were able to bring an AmeriCorps member into our county and get the preparedness message out to target individuals.
Connie, it's great to have you on the program today. Has it been rewarding work for you so far in Richland County with what you've been doing with disaster preparedness?
Yes, Ron. It's been an honor to be chosen as the coordinator for the AmeriCorps disaster preparedness. I've got to meet a lot of wonderful people.
So did you have to go through training yourself in terms of being able to provide, and do you work with Darren regularly or others in helping people get the message that they need to hear?
Actually, back in September of last year, my term started, and we were all led to Volk Field for a couple days. And also then Darren and I, and along with Jean and John at the office, that we meet weekly.
And stay in touch with what it is you need to be doing.
Yes. And so what I do is I keep just looking at different places that I can connect with getting the word out, or some people are just put in my path or from just looking at the paper, and all of a sudden different ideas come to me and who to talk to.
Your approach is likely different for someone who's 18 or 21, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who is 81, for example, correct?
Yes. It is, in a sense, somewhat the same, but somewhat different. So what I've done is with the Red Cross, I've worked with them, and there we did the pillowcase project, starting out with the kids, and that comes from Hurricane Katrina with a college student. Actually, the college students were putting different items into their pillowcase bags because they were rushing to get out. And so I did that with the young kids at Downa Elementary and also with Ithaca. So we had a lot of fun there where the kids received actually a large size pillowcase, and they used fabric markers to write anything they want on, like it was a comfort item or items that they're going to put into their bag. And they also received a booklet, so that went over really well. And then also I've done presentations to like the low vision group, working with those that either are totally blind or just unable, they have low vision. And that was an interesting group there too, where they were just very receptive to have me coming in and very engaged.
But what you'd be concerned with in helping our low vision support group with might be an entirely different issue if you were working with another group of citizens in our community, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And that's where we, Darren had actually ordered some Braille brochures. And so that even made it more interesting when I went to visit different groups, and especially the younger ones, when they were able to see the Braille and how it looked in an actual brochure, not just one piece, mm-hmm. but an actual brochure layout. And then that's how we asked. We also questioned the low vision group, what can we do for you?
Because if there is a disaster, their ability to be able to protect themselves requires a certain planning that maybe someone with a special health condition otherwise might require something entirely different. And the scenarios are really quite endless, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And so that's where we make sure that everybody has emergency contact person, you know, the backup plan, as you can say, that they have someone that they can get in touch with, or that person knows, yes, if there's an emergency, I have to make sure so-and-so is okay.
I think it's interesting, Connie, because there are certainly people in our community, and maybe they have lost a spouse. Mm-hmm. The children have jobs in other communities. And in some way where they have neighbors and they know people, they still are in some ways quite alone. Mm-hmm. That can be a vulnerable time in life, can't it?
Yes. That's why it's so vital, where myself just being single too, is that I spoke out to those single ones. Some on the evaluations would write, well, this doesn't apply because I'm single, because some of the questions happen to use the word family. And I said, actually, perhaps the apartment building that you live in, you can consider that your family. Or when I went to the Schmidt Woodland Hills, you considered those that are closest to you. Or actually, I visited a different Ridgeview apartment buildings with the help of Kelsey Smith, and she was just wonderful, and we talked to different ones. So ones that felt like they were all alone, I try to show them that there is family, important people around them.
You were working on helping people become familiar with weather radios at one point. Am I remembering right?
Yes. So what we mentioned to them is it's good to have either a regular radio or an emergency radio, a NOAA radio, which can be purchased here in town, Walsh's Ace Hardware, Radio Shack, Walmart, places like that. And what that'll do is that'll alert you to a tornado if there's a watch or warning. And actually, it will speak also about any floods. It'll come over on the radio. So that's very important to have.
But if no one helps you program it, you know, it isn't any good. I mean, that sometimes we think, okay, here's a weather radio, take it home and use it. And if you figure it out, great. But if you don't, that's where some of this preparedness and the common sense of the preparedness you're trying to do plays a key role, doesn't it?
It does. And actually, that makes me smile, because I actually had, with the AmeriCorps program, there's certain goals and requirements to meet. And one is to have a volunteer day that you go out and you help others. And I end up having two different days, actually, during the National Volunteer Week in general, that I had. It was open, the EOC was open to the public to come in. If they had any questions or concerns, they could ask or pick up any brochures and see how I prepare for an emergency. And we had a lady come in with her NOAA radio, and she had it for so many years, one of those things where you have and you mean well to take care of and figure out, you know, why isn't it working? And in the end, it was broken. We went to open up the back end. I believe it was the battery section or something happened there. Then we realized that actually it wasn't even functionable. So then she proceeded to go on and purchase a new one. So it was just good that there was something there she had sitting for quite a few years. And now it all of a sudden came to play out that she was need to purchase a new one. So it worked out good for her to come. I'm glad she
Were you able to stay in touch and know that she did get one and was able to get it up and going?
Yes, yes. And she had help preparing, actually getting it set up for her.
Because during our Walk with Grace radio auction, the Aries Racy's team, which is very involved, they contributed a radio, which included programming, which added to its value. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good idea. That was just, you know, heads up thinking.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the NOAA alert radios, the weather alert radios, is Family Thrift Shop was so nice of donating a weather alert radio, and that was given to the Richland Center meal site. And then they took that to actually Radio Shack, and they offered at no charge to set that up for them.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, you have an important summit coming up. Maybe we can make that the next point of our discussion on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. Connie Studnichka and Darren Gudgeon are our studio guests today as we talk about emergency preparedness on the program from WRCO FM. Emergency preparedness is our subject on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. Darren Gudgeon is here, the Director of Emergency Management for Richland County. And Connie Stadnichka is in the studio with us today. Connie serves Richland County as the AmeriCorps Disaster Preparedness Outreach Coordinator. You actually, Darren, we were talking during the break, you had a very clear goal when the AmeriCorps program for emergency preparedness came to Richland County, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I've been in the position for 10 years, and we've had several significant disasters strike our county and Southwest Wisconsin. And I was encouraged and excited about the opportunity to bring the AmeriCorps program in and to be able to target individuals in our community that may need a little bit more assistance or help or guidance when a disaster does strike. It's a lot easier for an individual my age or with my physical ability to sandbag my own home, or I might be a little bit more tech savvy with a weather radio, or I might, you know, be connected in different ways. But if you're an elderly person who lives alone, or just an elderly couple who's living in the country and wants to still stay in their own home, or a single mom, or you know, you might have vision issues or mobility issues, being prepared is not the same. It's a different set of circumstances that you're going to face if you have one of those different challenges. And so the goal was to bring the preparedness message to those target groups, not just a blanket, you know, preparedness message to anybody listening, but actually reach into and get into those, you know, CBRF facilities like Schmidt Woodland Hills and our house. Talk to the elderly residential facilities like Ridgeview Commons and Lone Rock, Viola and Richland Center, the meal sites, the low vision groups. And Connie has really fulfilled that goal. She grabbed a hold of it, and I've talked to a lot of individuals that have attended those seminars, and it was a message that they really wanted to hear. They were engaged, and they got something from it. And so we met that goal of getting the preparedness message to the individuals in our community and in our county that are going to need the extra resource and the extra guidance if a disaster does strike.
Is it fair to say, Darren, that it's your hope as emergency management and with Sheriff Bindle and Police Chief Clements that if you can do a good job of preparedness, your resources will go farther and provide quicker service in the case of a real emergency?
Oh, absolutely. If we could be in a position in Richland County where every individual household, or maybe a unit like Ridgeview Commons or Schmidt Woodland Hills, if all of those individuals are prepared and can manage for the first 72 hours of the disaster, we then as emergency responders can focus in on the immediate life threat and property, you know, damage issues, because we know that people are prepared. And it can go beyond just not yourself, but Connie had mentioned it might be an apartment building that you live in. You might not have family, but what if you were to initiate something in your apartment complex where now everybody that lives in there, you're looking out for each other, and maybe you identify a neighbor that might need help. You can then reach out to them. And pretty soon, the real response to the disaster becomes a whole community response, because if they're not taking care of themselves, they're taking care of their neighbor. And then the police chief, the fire chief, the sheriff, and myself, and public health, hospital, Aries Races, we can focus in on the immediate life-threatening needs, because we know that those other non-immediate needs are being addressed.
You're holding a summit coming up a week from this Saturday, Connie. Who is this summit for?
The summit is for actually anybody from student age to an elderly person of whatever age you may say. It's about bringing everybody together as a community, you know, just uniting everybody together. And what we're doing is we're having three speakers, main speakers coming in. We have John Kiefer from the Christian Emergency Network coming out, Appleton, Wisconsin, and he's on the Christian or faith-based side speaking. And then we also have Greg Engel from the Wisconsin Emergency Management. He's the head of the with the Wisconsin Emergency Management Director of Planning and Preparedness. And then we have Lieutenant Bob Frank, and he's going to be speaking on SCAMS. And so I see at that point with our kids with technology, it'd be great for any students, whether it's 4-H members, Boy Scouts, or just any students of the local schools are more than welcome to attend.
Now, you're actually, we're talking about this now, but anyone can attend, but you'd like to hear from people if they'd like to stay and have lunch with you that day.
Yes, it's best to RSVP. Actually, we need you to RSVP if you want lunch, so we have the correct number of meals for that. And also, just to get an idea of, we're putting folders together with information from each speaker and also with the AmeriCorps. And what I hadn't mentioned earlier is, with the AmeriCorps program, our model more or less is getting a kit, and that's an emergency kit. You'll see there a backpack filled with different items to be prepared, where you can grab that kit if possible. Again, in emergency, sometimes you can't grab that kit. That's okay. Let it be. Just get out when need be. Making a plan. These are things, again, to be prepared beforehand. And that's what I help different people, especially that day of with the volunteer day, is coming in and let me help you make your plan. Let's get it started. If you've been putting something off, I want to help you get it going. So basically making a plan what you would do for an emergency, and then being informed, as we talked about, with listening to the radio, being informed ahead of time and then during the possible disaster event.
Now, this is going to be on Saturday, August 15th. By when do you need reservations, Connie?
We need your RSVP by Monday, August 10th. And you can RSVP at the following phone number at the Richland County Emergency Management Office, 647-8187. Or you can send an email to myself at the RC AmeriCorps, which is spelled out RCAMERICORPS at countybco.richland.wi.us.
Now, for people who are coming, is it free of charge or do they have to pay?
There's no cost to attend to anybody.
Even for the lunch?
Even for the lunch, as long as you RSVP for the lunch.
So you have to make a reservation, and that's key for the lunch, is really what we're saying.
Yes.
Now, this event will be held where, Connie?
This will be held at the UW Richland campus, the Copper Top Theater, and also with the Student Center. So we'll start out registering, giving you a folder, also signing up for wonderful door prizes we have. We've had quite a few sponsors that donated some wonderful items. We have a couple NOAA weather alert radios, a couple smoke detectors, a first aid kit, 5 gallons of water, a smoke, fire, and carbon monoxide alarm, emergency car kit, an LED mag light, and a backpack emergency kit. And those are items that are going to be held for a drawing. And then besides that, everybody that attends, we actually have whistles that have been donated, and along with flashlights.
So they'll get a special gift just for coming?
Yes, just for coming.
You'll hear the speakers. I also note on your sheet you're going to have information booths.
Yes, we will. We have, as Ron mentioned earlier, about the Aries Racies, also known as the Pine Valley Repeaters Club. They will be having a booth there. And then we have the ADRC, the Aging, Disability, and Resource Center, coming in. And along with my AmeriCorps, I'll have a booth there with materials. And also Go Macro is coming out of Viola. They also have their other branches in California. They're going to have their snack bars.
And so as a result, people get to come, hear the speakers. If they make their reservation by Monday, they can enjoy lunch and then really leave better prepared in the whole aspect to deal with an emergency of all different sorts. Emergencies, you know, we might not think of, cybersecurity as an emergency, but it sure could be, couldn't it?
Yes, it can be. Emergencies can range from exactly as Lieutenant Bob Frank is going to be speaking about with cybersecurity, to a local fire, to floods, other things that Darren had mentioned. They could be, you know, whether it's just for a few hours or to something prolonged that lasts a few days.
Now, this program will start at what time, last how long, what will your schedule be like, Connie?
The program is starting at 10 o'clock. Again, it's a UW Richland campus, Copper Top Theater, within the Wallace Student Center here in Richland Center. And then it'll end approximately at 4 o'clock. Darren will do the closing remarks at 3:30. And again, we'll start at 10:30 with our speaker, and we'll have a couple breaks in between, so you have time to network and also look at the booths that we have. And one booth I did forget to mention, I apologize, would be the, we're going to have a quote emergency booth, and that's going to consist of with the fire department having material there, along with Lieutenant Bob Frank's material of his, and then also the Richland County EMS will be there.
You're hoping, I'm sure, that many people will attend. The challenge is to get us to come on a Saturday and invest a few hours on our own well-being, isn't it?
Yes. And I look forward to having you there. It's, again, for all age groups, but the main thing is I want it to be a win-win situation for you coming in, is that even if you take away just one thing that you've learned that day, that's great. That's what I spoke at different presentations. I always mention to them, it's about when my son went to ball camps. If you can bring back just one or two skills, just focus on that. That's awesome, instead of trying to take in the whole gamma. And so if you're just interested in one or two sessions, that's fine. If you want to stay for the whole day, that's great.
So you could come and just hear cybersecurity, or you could just come and hear any one of the other presentations if you wanted to.
Yes, you can. And the best thing, too, if you're coming in the morning, is to arrive earlier, if you could arrive by 9:30 or after, to register. We will have Jean doing the registering, and then you will get your packet again, sign up for the drawing.
And again, you only need a reservation then if you want to stay for lunch.
Yes.
Okay. So it's coming up on Saturday, August 15th, and that reservation number, if you'd like to attend, you could certainly call now, 647-8187, but by Monday, that is the deadline, 647-8187. It is 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. We'll take another break. This is The Morning Show on WRCO-FM. Connie Studnichka and Darren Gudgeon are our guests on The Morning Show today on WRCO Radio. The Emergency Preparedness Summit that we have talked about this morning is coming up on Saturday, August 15th. It is free of charge, including the lunch, but make a reservation so proper arrangements can be made. Connie, for you, you mentioned you have a number of community sponsors, and I look at your list, and you indeed do. It's nice to have that kind of support, and I know if I was asking Darren this question, it's that kind of support that helps make response to emergencies reality and appropriate.
It truly does. Everybody in the Richland Center area and surrounding areas have been very helpful, and I've actually received notes from others, you know, just saying that, hey, thanks for asking me to help out, that I'm more than happy to help you. So it was great to see, again, that people are just willing to help you. And the different sponsors, if I could just say a thank you,
sure,
to all the sponsors. We have the Family Thrift Shop, Gordy's County Market, Go Macro, Walsh's Ace Hardware, Town and Country TV and Appliance, Ed's Family Foods. We also have Richland Center Fire Department, the NOVA Video Productions, Richland Observer, Wisconsin Emergency Management, the Richland County Emergency Management, Richland Royals 4-H Club, Pine Valley Repeaters Club, Empire Grill, Richland County Aging and Disability Resource Center, Spectrum Brands, which if you're not familiar with, that also used to be known as Rayovac in Fenimore area, Richland County Ambulance, the UW Richland, Christian Emergency Network, Quick Trip, and my last thank you is to you, Ron, and here at WRCO.
Glad to do it. When I think about what you're trying to accomplish, people can learn a whole lot more by going online to the county website. Really, you could do everything from make a reservation to read speaker bios, couldn't you?
Yes. Actually, we've had a lot of wonderful help from with Jason and Barb and Kane helping out with the website, and along with Darren and Jean and others. I can't begin to name everybody that's given a little hand, Angela Porter, to others. So I appreciate everybody's help. And if I haven't mentioned your name, I apologize. But so it takes more than just myself to put this together. And on the website, you'll see the actual agenda on there. If you click on the Preparedness Summit area, you have to actually click on that red area, and you'll see more about that, and there's a PDF out there. And also the sponsors are listed with their logos, and if you double-click on each logo, most of them will lead them to a website if they have one. And we also have a speaker, a bio area, that gives a picture along with information about the speaker coming that day. And then there's an RSVP section, too. So you can RSVP from the website, by phone, or email.
And again, Monday the 10th is the deadline to be able to do that.
Yes, that is correct.
When Saturday is over, the 15th, what do you hope happens at this summit that will leave our community better prepared for a future disaster? And I won't say if one happens, I'll say when one happens, because I believe that will be the case.
Right. What I hope, again, is going to be a win-win situation, that if somebody again learns just one or two things that I brought up, or because me being there giving presentations, or because of this Saturday, it has brought other people in, or just somebody, a neighbor, just brings something up that maybe I hadn't thought of. We all learn from each other. And that's what's wonderful when we unite together. It's just not about the speaker only. So that day, who knows, you may be brought there to listen to the speaker, or perhaps being brought there to connect with somebody. One never knows, but I strongly suggest if you're feeling led to come, and just check it out. Again, stay as long as you wish.
Sounds good. I hope it goes very, very well. One of the things I think, Darren, we think about disaster preparedness, and I think of a program that I had recorded with Shannon Clark. And it was during the winter, and there was ice in the forecast. And he said, I'd really like to see people be prepared to think, what am I going to do without electricity for 72 or more hours? And you start thinking about that, and you think, wow, you know, could I make that? That falls under the definition of emergency preparedness, doesn't it?
Absolutely. 72 hours is kind of our goal. And I remember listening to that morning show, being excited that he was preaching the same message that I was preaching, that if individuals are prepared for those essential services to be interrupted for 72 hours, then it allows all of us, public works, utilities, fire, police, law enforcement, EMS, for us to focus on those immediate life-threatening emergencies, or those emergencies that are going to, you know, cause major damage to a home or to a business. We can focus our energy there, knowing that individuals have prepared themselves. They have a stock of water, a first aid kit. They've made a preparedness plan with their family. Those that have functional needs or are elderly have a circuit or a network of support. Friends, family, neighbors. If individuals are of that mindset, the response will go quickly and the recovery will be shortened, because recovery is a long process to begin with. But if individuals are prepared in the beginning, then they can mitigate some of the damage to their home, to their lives, to their finances, or whatever. Because when a disaster strikes, it hits every area of the community. It strikes us at heart. We just, you know, it hit me, my house, my family. It impacts our community. It impacts our economy locally. And if we don't recover from it, you know, in a strong way, it can have a devastating effect long term too, because a community that isn't able to fully recover tends to struggle for a long period of time after. So the preparedness message is important, and it's not just a cliche thing. If we can get everybody to hear this message and embrace it, the next disaster will go smoother than the one before.
Even something as simple that we could all do, like that red file on the refrigerator, yep, that the ADRC is really promoting, that's an example of a concrete step for preparedness, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because right there, you've recognized that there's a need. You have a need to share information when a medical emergency causes you to not be able to communicate. And so if we know that that is there, we see it, we recognize it, we can grab that. You've now communicated with us at a time where you couldn't, and we'll be able to render better care, and thus the impact of that emergency, the negativity of it, has been mitigated somewhat. And it's the same for everything else. Can a person survive 72 hours without electricity? Well, for a long time, our you know, 3, 4, 5 generations ago, we were doing that on a regular basis. Now we're so connected that, you know, we don't even think about going and turning the light switch on. But what happens if we turn the light switch on and it doesn't come on? You know, what do we do with our refrigerated meats? What do we do when we can't operate our septic systems, our toilet, or turn on the water? All those basic life essential things, food, shelter, water, how do we manage that? So 72 hours is a goal. It was awesome to hear Shannon say that day. And I think that he was thinking the same thing. We want to be able to deal with the life-threatening immediate needs, getting the hospital up and running, getting those essential services so that we can then expedite the process. So the better people are prepared, the easier it is on the public safety response community, and the better it's going to be for them as they recover from the situation.
What's next on your calendar for the community once the summit is complete, Connie?
Actually, I'll be rounding up my year.
You will.
My term will be ending with August 31st, so I'll just be finishing up on some final details and reports for the state. And perhaps, too, if I can fit in anything extra at the end, I will do that.
Has it been a rewarding year?
It has. I'm definitely glad this is something that I've taken on, and speaking to other groups and people as something that's always has been in my future plans.
Sounds
so this
good.
Has just come into place at the right timing. One other thing yet today, if I could mention, Ron, that one of the goals for the AmeriCorps we were required to do is recruit 30 volunteers to help out in whichever way they could. And I want to say thank you to all the volunteers. I have recruited the 30 volunteers as required. I'd love to name them off, but maybe mention some of the organizations. They came from anywhere from, again, Aries Races, the Time Banks, EMTs, the Christian Emergency Network. We've had Lutheran Social Services, Richland County Nutrition Coordinator. We even had members as My Neighbor and also Open House Attendee. So people have come from all facets, the Go Macro, UWR, Norlene Emerson, the geology professor there. Mm-hmm. She'll be on campus the day of. And it's just been great. They've come from all directions, Richland Area Pet Rescue, Bob with the cybersecurity, and I think then we've also had a retired general in there in the aging and disability.
Mm-hmm. So a good mix,
yes,
which is a big plus.
And where this all started with the summit, actually, you know, everything begins from somewhere, is that in March, I kept feeling led that the AmeriCorps volunteers should unite together. So there's a couple days I had where they could choose from to come in, and we threw some ideas around, and one of the ideas was have a community gathering. And so this has come to pass.
Okay.
So I want to thank you. I want to say a thank you to those members that did attend and that got this started. And it was a vision, and it's becoming a reality.
So you can come and go, but if you want to come and have lunch, make sure that you call or use the website to make your reservation. The number is 647-8187, and make your reservation mm-hmm. by Monday. Good luck. Hope it goes well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Darren, good to see you. Best wishes for a good end to the year. And you agree completely. It's not if there's a disaster, it's when.
It's when. And it's August, people.
Yes.
So August tends to be more active for us in Richland mm-hmm. County and in Southwest Wisconsin.
Let's hope it passes us by. Connie?
And if I can add too, preparing isn't just about preparing items or just having that plan, that kit, or being informed. It's also about being calm before the storm, whatever that storm may be. So when I was at the different presentations, especially with the Red Cross Pillowcase Project, we practiced with the kids a breathing technique. We closed our eyes and took that deep breath and then breathed out slowly. And just to thinking about happy thoughts, you know, anything to calm yourself or have some calming item with you. So it's very important to keep the anxiety reduced during the storm. So if you're prepared somewhat before that happens, that's going to make you more calm when the storm does happen.
And your decisions will be better as a result.
They will. Your thinking will be more clear and the results will be better. It's basically, you're going to be more resilient. You'll be able to bounce back emotionally and physically sooner.
Sounds good. The summit certainly will offer you some great tips and ideas and suggestions, leave you better prepared. It again is coming up on Saturday, August 15th at the UW Richland, opening at 10 o'clock with registration before. Our thanks to Connie Studnichka and Darren Gudgeon for joining us on the morning show today. Tomorrow, we'll talk about your health. Dr. Jamie Dickman will be our guest. And as we work closer to Grace, we'll be talking about cancer screening on the program tomorrow.